Father, I've got to ask you this, because I have heard that during the episodes in 1917, one of the major miracles that probably occurred, they say, and I find this to be just an unbelievable story, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this, was that so many people, thousands of people, witnessed what they said was the miracle of the sun.
Yes.
What was that?
Well, in July, Our Lady appeared. I just to give you a little bit, I'll try and answer your question. But Our Lady came at Fatima in 1917 on May 13th, and she asked the children to come back on the 13th of each month until October 13th, and she would tell them who she was and what it was she wanted. On July 13th, Lucy, the one who spoke to Our Lady, the other two children, one could see her, only Francesco and Jacinta could see and hear her, but only Lucy spoke to her. And so Lucy asked on behalf of the children if she would work a miracle so that the people would believe that she was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so on July 13th, Our Lady said, in October 13th, I will work a miracle so that all might believe. And so on the basis of this promise and prediction 3 months ahead of time, there were 70,000 people who came to be in the Cova de Ira, the Cove of Peace, as it would translate into English, a big field. And that day, in fact, from the night before, it was raining. It rained so much people were standing in the mud up to their ankles, some of them, and they still came and waited, despite the fact that the Portuguese authorities had tried to discourage people from coming, to put it mildly. The priests, the clergy of Portugal, basically had also discouraged people from paying any attention to it. But the people came because there were smaller signs, which I can talk about. But on October 13th, the 70,000 people, then when Lucy pointed to the sun, the clouds parted, the people could look at the sun without hurting their eyes. It looked like a silver dish in the sky, as one person describes it. The editor of the magazine, O Secolo, which is a large daily paper in Lisbon,
mm-hmm.
was mocking the people who believed in this. The editor-in-chief himself was there to write about what he considered was going to be the biggest hoax ever. And he reported it on the front pages of his paper the next day, along with there were learned people. There's a Dr. Garnett who describes it very scientifically, what he saw and so forth. But to put it in a quick description,
sure.
The people were, they looked at the sun. The sun started to spin. It looked like it span on its own axis. It gave off different colors, like first red, then green, then blue, so that if a person had a white shirt on, that their shirt would turn red and green and blue as the sun spun around.
That's incredible.
After 4 minutes, it stopped spinning. It started a second time spinning more beautifully, more rapidly, with more beautiful colors. After second period of 4 minutes approximately, then it started a third time, but the third time was quite different. It not only did it spin, but it then became loose. It began to go zigzag in the sky, as the peasant said, it danced. The sun danced, and then at a certain point, the sun began to fall and fall and fall. It looked like the sun was going to fall on top of them. It became very large in the sky, became very, very hot, and the people thought it was the end of the world. So they fell on their knees in the mud to ask God for mercy, to ask forgiveness for their sins.
Now, do you actually believe that something like this could have happened, or maybe it was some kind of an optical illusion? Maybe they thought they saw this. Maybe there was a miracle, but it had to do with some kind of an illusion.
Well, I'll finish describing it, then we can ask whether it's an illusion, because it's not only the sense of sight is involved, but a lot of other senses.
Sure.
Sense of feeling as well, sense of touch, I should say. The sun, as the people asked for mercy, and the sun stopped its flight downward and went back to its regular place in the sky. When the people got up from their knees, they discovered their clothes were dry and clean in an instant. So they could see that, they could touch the ground, the ground was dry, their clothes were dry. That can't happen just by an illusion of the eye.
No, that's a miracle all by itself.
Now, the second thing is that there were people who were sick, people who could not walk, who could not see. There were so many miracles that the commission only actually examined four of them, because it was just common knowledge that there were thousands of miracles of cures. But even more importantly, as St. Augustine points out, the greatest miracle is the conversion of a sinner. St. Augustine reasons as follows. He says, when God created the world, he created it out of nothing. Nothing did not resist God's will. But a sinner before converting resists God's will. So St. Augustine says, for God to convert a sinner is a greater miracle than the creation of the world. Now, thousands of people were converted that day. The history of Portugal is marked by that miracle. Portugal was under, it had a revolution in 1910. It's thrown out the Catholic patriarch of Lisbon had been exiled. Priests and religious were imprisoned and so forth. The Masonic Revolution in 1910, which they predicted that the Catholic Church would be exterminated or wiped out in two generations, that brought the began the Renaissance of the Catholic Church in Portugal. In 1918, within 1 year later, the Masonic Prime Minister, Senor Pais, if I remember his name correctly, was assassinated by his own Masonic brethren. He had reversed all the anti-Catholic laws, or many of them. But by 1925, the Masons were completely routed in the government, and they started being ruled by Catholic principles and so forth. When some blasphemy was said in Parliament in 1925 or 26, the Minister of Finance resigned and said, "I won't come back until there's public reparation for this blasphemy in Parliament," which they conformed because they knew he was a financial genius, and they gave the reparation requested.
Well, and it's important, Father, for everybody to understand that even though the Vatican seems to have taken control or charge of this, this isn't necessarily just a Catholic episode here, is it?
No, because, in fact, the message very simply goes as follows. I mean, among other things, the Blessed Virgin said, "If my requests are granted, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. If my requests are not granted, Russia will spread her errors throughout the world, raising up wars and persecutions of the Church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated." There's two choices before mankind. Either listen to Our Lady and have world peace, don't listen to her and have various nations annihilated, the whole world enslaved by godless men.